It is good to see each of you here this morning as we have come to worship and to celebrate. This is a very special Sunday. We will recognize our high school graduates a little later in the service. There are a lot of activities going on in this coming month. Wednesday is ELC graduation. Next Sunday is Mother's Day, and there is a form in your bulletin if you wish to order a rose. Also next Sunday is second grade Bible presentation. On the 13th of May, the United Women of Faith are having their luncheon at noon, and then the 15th, the church picnic. We always have a great time at the church picnic, and then on the 19th is Confirmation Sunday, when we will receive several young people into the membership of this church. We're delighted to have our pastor back with us from Charlotte, North Carolina. She is going to have two times for presenting what went on at General Conference this coming week. Not that the conference is this coming week, but she'll present those this week at 6 o'clock on Wednesday evening. That's in the chapel, okay? And then at 3 o'clock on Thursday afternoon, also in the chapel. The rose that you see to my right is in honor of the birth of Rose Eliana Isabel. Parents are Ross and Stephanie, brothers is Wells, and grandparents are Gordon and Cindy Isabel. There is in your bulletin an order form for roses if you would like to present a rose next Sunday for Mother's Day. There's a lot for an old man to do and to remember this morning, so I'm trying not to forget anything. Well, the flood buckets are gone, but they're still scattered around the sanctuary or the church facilities if you need one. Okay. Thank you. Please remain standing as we affirm our faith using the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Glory to the Father and to the Son. Thank you. Please be seated. And let me take just a moment to welcome you. I didn't earlier, but we're glad that you are here. If you would, please take one of the attendance pads and sign that and fill it out and place it in the offering plate. Those who are watching us online, we are delighted that you're with us and ask that you make some sort of response to know, let us know that you are a part of our service today. We're glad to have each and every one of you. Let us bow our heads for a moment of prayer. We come to thank you, God, for all your blessings that you pour out upon us, that call us to be faithful servants, that offer us the opportunity to share what we have received with others. So bless our offerings, for it's in Christ's name. Amen. Let us pray. As we bow in your presence, O God, we are reminded of your gracious attitude and love toward us, that you who know us best, you who know the secrets of our hearts, you who know what we have done, thinking that no one knew, and you who loves us in spite of what we have done and who we are, we thank you as we come to this place in this moment of worship, proclaiming that you are God, that you have made us in your image, and that where we have failed, you have not. Where we have denied you, you have not denied us. Where we have sinned against you, you have only had love for us. So we come to seek and to receive your forgiveness. We have come to celebrate your grace. We have come to declare that we want to be your people, a servant people, a loving people, a people who live in community with one another and who accept each other as brothers and sisters in the faith. We thank you for young people in our midst who are preparing for a life of service through the church, who will commit their lives to you as faithful followers of Christ. And so we remember once more Anna Kate, Ava, Emily, Haley, Iris, Jace, Jade, Kennedy, Lydia, Maddie, Maggie, Maya, Miko, Merritt, Sarah, and Sarah Kate. We thank you for their lives and for the witness and faith that they will live in the coming years, the service they will provide. Continue to pour out your blessings upon this part of the body of Christ, this church. Continue to help us to be receptive to your spirit, a spirit of forgiveness, a spirit of service, a spirit of love. And especially we remember Christ our Lord, and as followers of Jesus, we remember the prayer that he has taught his followers to pray at all times. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
troubles come and my heart burdened be, then I am still and wait here in the silence until you come and sit a while with me. You raise me up so I can stand on mountains. You raise me up to walk on stormy seas. I am strong when I am on your shoulders. You raise me up to more than I can be.
To recognize our graduating seniors at this time. When I call your name, would you please stand and remain standing? Allison Grace Howler, Jackson Holt Page, Elizabeth Sarah Reynolds, Sally Mae Witt, and Afton Violet Yarnell. I would ask that their families, parents, grandparents, aunts, uncles, brothers, sisters, please stand. We are very proud of our graduates and know that it takes a village for us to proceed through life, and we We appreciate the families of these young people. Let's bow our heads for a moment of prayer. God of truth and knowledge, by your wisdom we are taught the way and the truth. Bless Allison and Jackson, Elizabeth, Sally, and Afton as they now finish this course of study. We thank you for those who taught and worked beside them and all who supported them along the way. Walk with these graduates as they leave and move forward in life. Take away their anxiety and confusion of purpose. Strengthen their many talents and skills. Instill in them a confidence in the future you plan, which energies may be gathered up and used for the good of all people. For the sake of Jesus Christ, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Our children will remain here with us this morning since we will be celebrating communion a little bit later. Please be seated. Before I begin the sermon this morning, I want to take a moment. First of all, I want to thank all of you. I feel like I have a lot of friends in this church, and I appreciate your friendship more than you'll ever know. Your support and love for me and my family has been outstanding through the years, and I appreciate that. I do, however, want to recognize one friend that has been my longest time friend over the years, Donnie Gray. Donnie and I go back over 70 years. I know we don't look like we're that old, but Donnie and I started the first grade together at Glencoe Elementary School went through junior high school and graduated from Glencoe High School many years ago and have been friends ever since, and I appreciate his friendship. The text this morning is from the 15th chapter of Matthew, beginning with the 12th verse. "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. No one has greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. I do not call you servants any longer, because a servant does not know what the master is doing. But I have called you friends, because I have made known to you everything that I have heard from my Father. The word of God for the people of God." I'm sorry I'm not going to do a Master Gardener type sermon this morning. I'm sure that all of your grapevines are in great shape after last week's sermon, and that's not necessary. But I do want to talk about friendship. And I want to begin by telling you the story of the man who wrote, or who is responsible, rather, for What a Friend We Have in Jesus. His name was Joseph Schrödinger. He was born and raised in Dublin, went to school, graduated from the University of Dublin, became engaged to Mary. But on the eve of his wedding, his bride-to-be was thrown from her horse while crossing a bridge. And Shriver, who was on the other side, all he could do was simply watch as she drowned. It was a devastating blow in his life, of course. And yet it was through this traumatic loss that he would begin to forge a very close relationship with God. Shriver left Ireland to go to Canada, where he became a personal tutor. 10 years later, he fell in love again and was engaged to be married. This time, his bride caught a chill while swimming and developed tuberculosis. She would die 3 years later. They were never married. Late one night, suffering from great grief, profound grief and loneliness, Shriver begged God for comfort, promising that he would faithfully serve God all the rest of his life. God answered his prayer. His burden was lifted, and he kept what promise he had made. But as a result of that night, he wrote the first two stanzas of what we know as What a Friend We Have in Jesus. In the remaining years of his life, Joseph became an individual who was not concerned about worldly possessions. He had been quite well-to-do back in Ireland, but in Canada, he began to give away all of his belongings, all of his possessions. When one family lost their cow, which they depended upon for their livelihood, for their income, Thomas had nothing to give them financially, so he simply took his watch off and told them to sell it and to use it to buy another cow. He also became known for his acts of kindness, like cutting wood for widows and helping the sick and elderly. Later in life, Shriver went back to Ireland to visit with family and friends. However, when he got there, he discovered that his friends had no regard for him because he was dressed in shabby clothes. He wasn't dressed in the finery that they had known him to dress in previously. So they rejected him and abused him and made fun of him. But out of that came the inspiration for the third verse of What a Friend that says, "Do thy friends despise, forsake thee? Take it to the Lord in prayer. In his arms he'll take and shield thee. Thou wilt find a solace there." During his final illness, a friend came to visit him and found this three stanza poem and asked if he had written it. "The Lord and I did it between us," he said. But by this time, his life had become an inspiring witness as to his faith and service. And of course, the words to his poem have been a blessing to the church through the years as we have sung, "What a Friend We Have in Jesus." Someone has described a friend as someone who knows you very well and loves you anyway. Well, that's a great definition of a great quality that lies at the heart of the best friendships. And it is the fact that Jesus knows our every weakness. God knows us far better than we know ourselves, including every secret sin, every dark corner of the heart. And yet, God embraces us with kind, compassionate love, generous and full of grace. We often use the expression of a person who is our friend that they are the very person who would give us the shirt off their back. But there's another, far greater, higher level of sacrificial love, one that Jesus came to demonstrate in his life. There is no greater love than this, he said, than a man lay down his life for his friends. That's an expression of love that has no limits. E.V. Hill was a prominent pastor of a large African-American church in Watts, outside of Los Angeles, back in the mid-60s. During the riots that took place there in 1965, E.V. Hill stood in his pulpit Sunday after Sunday and denounced the violence, the looting, the burning that was taking place in his community, only to receive death threats. One night, he received a phone call, and his wife, Jane, could tell that he was upset after the call ended, and she asked him about the call, and he said, oh, it was nothing. But you know how wives are, they persist sometimes. And he finally said, well, they threatened to blow up our car with me in it. So the rest of the evening, they discussed how they could protect the car from someone coming and planting a bomb in it, and they realized they couldn't. It was impossible. So they went to bed not knowing what to do. The next morning, Reverend Hill got up and went through the house to discover that his wife wasn't there and the car was gone, and he was alarmed. But before he could do anything, she came driving up the driveway in the car. She had driven the car around the block to make sure it was safe for him to drive. That is Christ-like love, her willingness to sacrifice even her own life in order to save his. But nothing can surpass the self-giving love that we see on the cross. Although he struggled at Gethsemane, as anyone would when they're facing such excruciating pain and agony, Jesus obediently submitted himself to his Father's will for the sake of love. You know, God could have spared his sons. God could have spared himself all the agony and all that pain. So why was he willing to go to such extremes? Why was he willing that his son might give his life? For after all, we would summarize it by saying, God so loved the world that he gave his only son. Well, it was all for the sake of love. God is love, we are told in 1 John. That means that love is the very essence of God's nature. And love is the reason we were created. Love is the reason that we are here. God wants us to know, wants nothing more than us to know and to share the blessing of love. All love has its source in God, whether it's the love of family who has stood by you for many years to get you to the point of graduating from high school, or whether it's the love of families who are friends who have been with you and loved you in spite of who you are for over 70 years, or whether it's the love of strangers, neighbors, who make sacrifices for you. Love makes the world go around. Love is the reason we're here. Love is the nature of God, and we're called to let it be our nature as well. Joseph Scriven found the reality of God's gracious friendship even from the depths of heartbreaking tragedy, and that love would completely transform his life. He came to realize that he was never alone, that he was never without God's faithful help, that help which was always as close as a prayer. And in his poem, Now Our Hymn, as it was written, to bear witness to the truth he discovered and its reality in his life, he has a friend in Jesus Christ. Quotes, songs, stories, and poetry about friendship abound. But the best act of love and friendship all comes from the best friend of all. No one has greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. Amen. Amen. Now, if you would, please take your hymnal and turn to page 12. Behold the symbol of God's love for us. I would remind you that in the United Methodist Church, we celebrate open communion, which means that you do not have to be a member of this church. You do not have to be even a United Methodist. But if you feel that God is inviting you to be a part of this service and to receive these elements, we welcome you wholeheartedly. If you would turn to page 12. And we will begin at the invitation. Christ our Lord invites to his table all who love him, who earnestly repent of their sin, and seek to live in peace with each other. Therefore, let us confess our sin before God and one another. Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done your will. We have broken your law. We have rebelled against your love. We have not loved our neighbors, and we have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for joyful obedience through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
Glory to God. Amen. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right and a good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. And so with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, he took bread, gave thanks to you, broke the bread, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." When the supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks to you, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And so, in remembrance of these your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice, in union with Christ's offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world, until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit and your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. We will come in just a moment and kneel at the chancel rail where you will be served the elements. Again, I remind you, this is open communion. We invite all to come and to celebrate. And I invite now those who are going to help serve the elements. So if you would come. The body of Christ, broken for you. Take and eat, remembering him. The blood of Christ, shed for you. Rise and go in peace. Amen. Arise and go in peace. Amen. Rise and go in peace. Amen.